The Journal of George Fox, 1648-1652, Early Ministry, page 3124. From here I passed on, the old priest being still with me, and several others. As we went along, some people called to him and said, "Mr. Boys, we owe you some money for tithes, pray come and take it." But he threw up his hands and said, "He had enough, he would have none of it, they might keep it." And he praised the Lord he had enough. At length we came to this old priest's steeple house, in the moors, and he went before me and held open the pulpit door, but I told him I should not go into it. This steeple house was very much painted. I told him and the people, the painted beast had a painted house. I opened to them the rise of all those houses, and their superstitious ways, showing them that as the end of the apostles going into the temple and synagogues, which God had commanded, was not to hold them up, but to bring them to Christ the substance. So the end of my coming there was not to hold up these temples, priests, and tithes, which God had never commanded, but to bring them off from all these things to Christ the substance. I showed them the true worship which Christ had set up, and distinguished Christ the true way from all the false ways, opening the parables to them, and turning them from darkness to the true light, that by it they might see themselves, their sins, and Christ their Savior, that believing in him they might be saved from their sins. After this we went to one Burditz, where I had a great meeting, and this old priest accompanied me still, leaving his steeple house. He had been looked upon as a famous priest, above common prayer men, presbyters, and independents too. Before he was convinced, he went sometimes into their steeple houses and preached, for he had been a zealous man in his way. And when they complained of him to Justice Hotham, the justice told them to seize and take possession of his horse for traveling on the Lord's Day, as he called it. But Hotham did that to put them off, for he knew the priest used no horse, but traveled on foot. Now I came towards Crantzik to Captain Perslow's and Justice Hotham's, who received me kindly, being glad the Lord's power had so appeared, that truth was spread, and so many had received it, and that Justice Robinson was so civil. Justice Hotham said, "If God had not raised up this principle of light and life, which I preached, the nation would have been overrun with ranterism, and all the justices in the nation could not have stopped it with all their laws. Because," he said, "they would have imitated what we said, and obeyed the laws, and still have practiced their own evil beliefs and behavior. But this principle of truth overthrows their principle in the root and ground of that. Therefore he was glad the Lord had raised up this principle of life and truth." From there, I traveled into Holderness and came to a justice's house, whose name was Pearson, where there was a very tender woman, who believed in the truth, and was so affected with it that she said, she could have left all and have followed me. From there I went to Oram, to George Hartise's, where many of that town were convinced. On the first day I was moved to go into the steeple house, where the priest had got another to help him, and many professors and contenders had got together. But the Lord's power was over all. The priests fled away, and a great deal of good service I had for the Lord among the people. Some of those great professors were convinced, and became honest, faithful friends, being men of position in that place. The next day, friends and friendly people having left me, I traveled alone, declaring the day of the Lord among people in the towns where I came, and warning them to repent. As I traveled one day, I came towards night into a town called Patrington. As I walked along the town, I warned both priests and people, for the priest was in the street, to repent and turn to the Lord. It grew dark before I came to the end of the town, and a multitude of people gathered about me, to whom I declared the word of life. When I had cleared myself, I went to an inn and desired them to let me have a lodging, but they would not. I desired a little meat or milk, and I would pay for it, but they refused. So I walked out of the town, and a company of fellows followed and asked me what was happening. I bid them repent and fear the Lord. After I was gone a pretty way, I came to another house and desired the people to let me have a little food, drink, and lodging for my money, but they denied me. I went to another house and desired the same, but they refused me also. By this time it was grown so dark that I could not see the highway, but I saw a ditch and got a little water there and refreshed myself. Then I got over the ditch, and being weary with traveling, I sat down among the evergreen bushes until it was day. About break of day, I got up and passed on through the fields. A man came after me with a great pikestaff and went along with me to a town, and he raised the town upon me, with the constable and chief constable, before the sun was up. I declared God's everlasting truth among them, warning them of the day of the Lord that was coming upon all sin and wickedness, and exhorted them to repent. But they seized me and had me back to Patrington, about 3 miles, guarding me with watchbills, pikes, staves, and halberds. When I came to Patrington, the entire town was in an uproar, and the priest and constables were consulting together. So I had another opportunity to declare the word of life among them and to warn them to repent. At last a professor, a tender man, called me into his house, and there I took a little milk and bread, having not eaten for some days before. Then they escorted me about 9 miles to a justice. When I came near his house, a man came riding after us and asked me whether I was the man that was apprehended. I asked him why he asked. He said he meant no harm. I told him I was the man, so he rode away to the justice ahead of us. The men that guarded me said it would be good if the justice was not drunk before we got to him, for he used to be drunk early. When I was brought in before him, because I did not put off my hat and said thou to him, he asked the man that rode there before me whether I was not confused or insane. The man told him no, it was my principle. I warned him to repent and come to the light, which Christ had enlightened him with, that by it he might see all his evil words and actions and turn to Christ Jesus while he had time, and that while he had time he should prize it. Yes, yes, said he, the light that is spoken of in the 3rd of John. I desired he would mind it and obey it. As I admonished him, I laid my hand upon him, and he was brought down by the power of the Lord, and all the watchmen stood amazed. Then he took me into a little parlor with the other man, and desired to see what I had in my pockets of letters or intelligence. I plucked out my linen and showed him I had no letters. He said, I was not a vagrant by my linen. Then he set me at liberty. I went back to Patrington with the man that had ridden ahead of me to the justice, for he lived at Patrington. When I came there, he wanted me to have a meeting at the cross. But I said, it was no matter, his house would serve. He desired me to go to bed, or lie down upon a bed. He asked so that they might say they had seen me in or upon a bed, for they had gotten a report that I would not lie on any bed, because I laid so many times outdoors. When first day was come, I went to the steeple house, and declared the truth to the priest and people. And the people did not molest me, for the power of God was come over them. Soon after, I had a great meeting at the man's house where I lay, and many were convinced of the Lord's everlasting truth, who stand faithful witnesses for it to this day. And they were exceedingly grieved that they had not received me, nor given me lodging, when I was there before. From here, I traveled through the country to its farthest part, warning people in towns and villages to repent, and directing them to Christ Jesus, their teacher. On first day, I came to Colonel Overton's, and had a great meeting of the prime of the people of that country, where many things were opened out of the scriptures, which they had never heard before. Many were convinced, and received the word of life, and were settled in the truth of God. I returned to Patrington again, and visited those friends that were convinced there, from whom I understood that a tailor and some wild young men in that town had been responsible for my being carried before the justice. The tailor came to ask me forgiveness, fearing I would complain of him. The constables also were afraid, for fear that I should trouble them. But I forgave them all and warned them to turn to the Lord and to amend their lives. What had made them very afraid was this. When I was in the steeple house at Oram not long before, a professor gave me a push on the breast in the steeple house and bid me get out of the church. Alas, poor man, said I, do you call the steeple house the church? The church is the people whom God has purchased with his blood, and not the house. It happened that Justice Hotham came to hear of this man's abuse, sent his warrant for him, and bound him over to the sessions. So affected was he with the truth, and so zealous to keep the peace. And indeed this justice had asked me before whether any had meddled with me or abused me. But I was not to tell him anything of that kind, but was to forgive all. From Patrington, I went to several great men's houses, warning them to repent. Some received me lovingly, and some slighted me. At night I came to another town, where I desired lodging and food, and I would pay for it. But they would not lodge me, except I would go to the constable, which was the custom, they said, of all lodgers at inns, if strangers. I told them I should not go, for that custom was for suspicious persons, but I was an innocent man. After I had warned them to repent, declared to them the day of their visitation, and directed them to the light of Christ and the Spirit of God, that they might come to know salvation, I passed away, and the people were somewhat tendered and troubled afterwards. When it grew dark, I spied a haystack, and went and sat under it until morning. The next day I passed into Hull, admonishing and warning people as I went, to turn to Christ Jesus, that they might receive salvation. That night I got a lodging, but was very sore with traveling on foot so far. Afterwards I came to Balby, visiting friends up and down in those parts, and then passed into the edge of Nottinghamshire, visiting friends there, and so into Lincolnshire and visited friends there. On first day I went to a steeple house on this side of Trent, and in the afternoon to another on the other side of Trent, declaring the word of life to the people, and directing them to their teacher Christ Jesus, who died for them, that they might hear him and receive salvation by him. Then I went further into the country and had several meetings. To one meeting came a great man, a priest, and many professors, but the Lord's power came over them all, and they went their way peaceably. There came a man to that meeting, who had been at one before, and raised a false accusation against me, and made a noise up and down the country, reporting that I said I was Christ, which was utterly false. When I came to Gainsborough, where a friend had been declaring truth in the market, the town and market people were all in an uproar. I went into a friendly man's house, and the people rushed in after me, so that the house was filled with professors, disputers, and rude people. This false accuser came in and charged me openly before the people that I said I was Christ, and he had witnesses to prove it. This accusation put the people into such a rage that they could barely keep their hands off me. Then was I moved of the Lord God to stand up upon the table in the eternal power of God and tell the people that Christ was in them, except they were reprobate sin still lives in them, and that it was Christ, the eternal power of God, that spoke in me at that time unto them, not that I was Christ. And the people were generally satisfied, except the false accuser, a professor, and his own false witnesses. I called the accuser Judas, and was moved to tell him that Judas's end should be his, and that that was the word of the Lord and of Christ through me to him. From Matthew 27:5, then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. The Lord's power came over all, and quieted the minds of the people, and they departed in peace. But this Judas shortly after hanged himself, and a stake was driven into his grave. This falsehood they printed to the nation, adding sin to sin, which the truth and we were clear of, for he was no more a Quaker than the priest that printed it, but was one of their own people. Notwithstanding this wicked slander by which the adversary designed to defame us and turn people's minds against the truth, we held strong. Many in Lincolnshire received the gospel, being convinced of the Lord's everlasting truth, and sat down in it under his heavenly teaching. I passed in the Lord's power into Yorkshire, came to Warnsworth, and went to the steeple house in the afternoon, but they shut the door on me. Yet after a while they let in Thomas Aldham and then shut it again, and the priest fell upon him, asking him questions. At last they opened the door, and I went in. As soon as I came into the priest's sight, he stopped preaching, though I said nothing to him, for he was in a great confusion, and asked me, "What have you to say?" And presently cried out, "Come, come, I will prove them false prophets in Matthew." But he was so confounded, he could not find the chapter. Then he fell on me, asking me many questions, and I stood still all this while, not saying anything among them. At last I said, "Seeing here are so many questions asked, I may answer them." But as soon as I began to speak, the people violently rushed upon me, thrust me out of the steeple house again, and locked the door against me. As soon as they had finished their service and were come out, the people ran upon me, knocked me sorely with their staves, threw clods and stones at me, and abused me much. The priest also, being in a great rage, laid violent hands on me himself. I warned them and him of the terrible day of the Lord, and exhorted them to repent and turn to Christ. Being filled with the Lord's refreshing power, I was not sensible of much hurt I had received by their blows. In the afternoon, I went to another steeple house, but the priest had done before I got there. So I preached repentance to the people that were left, and directed them to their inward teacher, Jesus Christ. From here I went to Balby and Doncaster, where I had formerly preached repentance on the market day, which had made a noise and alarm in the country. On the first day I went to the steeple house, and after the priest had done, I spoke to him and the people what the Lord commanded me, and they were in a great rage, hurried me out, threw me down, and haled me before the magistrates. A long examination they made of me, and much work I had with them. They threatened my life, if ever I came there again, and that they would leave me to the mercy of the people. Nevertheless, I declared truth among them, and directed them to the light of Christ in them, testifying unto them, that God was come to teach his people himself, whether they would hear or receive it. After a while they put us out, for some friends were with me among the rude multitude, and they stoned us down the streets. An innkeeper, a bailiff, came and took us into his house, and they broke his head, so that the blood ran down his face, with the stones that they threw at us. We stayed a while in his house, and showed the more sober people the priest's fruits. Then we went away to Balbi about a mile off. The rude people laid wait for us and stoned us down the lane, but blessed be the Lord, we did not receive much hurt. The next first day I went to Tickhill, where the friends of that side gathered together, and a mighty brokenness by the power of God there was among the people. I went out of the meeting, being moved of God to go to the steeple house. When I came there, I found the priest and most of the chief people of the parish together in the chancel. I went up to them and began to speak, but they immediately fell upon me, the clerk up with his Bible as I was speaking, and struck me on the face with it, so that my face gushed out with blood, and I bled exceedingly in the steeple house. The people cried, "Let us have him out of the church." When they had got me out, they beat me exceedingly, threw me down, and threw me over a hedge. They afterwards drug me through a house into the street, stoning and beating me as they dragged me along, so that I was all over besmeared with blood and dirt. They got my hat from me, which I never had again. Yet when I got upon my legs, I declared the word of life, showed them the fruits of their teacher, and how they dishonored Christianity. After a while, I got into the meeting again among friends, and the priest and people coming by the house, I went with friends into the yard, and there spoke to the priest and people. The priest scoffed at us and called us Quakers. But the Lord's power was so over them, and the word of life was declared in such authority and dread to them, that the priest fell a-trembling himself, and one of the people said, "Look how the priest trembles and shakes, he is turned a Quaker also." When the meeting was over, friends departed, and I went without my hat to Balbi about 7 or 8 miles. Friends were much abused that day by the priest and his people, so much that some moderate justices hearing of it, 2 or 3 of them came and sat at the town to examine the business. He that had shed my blood was afraid of having his hand cut off, for striking me in the church, as they called it, but I forgave him, and would not appear against him. In the beginning of this year, 1652, great rage got up in priests and people, and in some of the magistrates in the West Riding of Yorkshire against the truth and friends, so much, that the priest of Warnsworth procured a warrant from the justices against me and Thomas Aldham, to be executed in any part of the West Riding of Yorkshire. At the same time, I had a vision of a bear and 2 great mastiff dogs, that I should pass by them, and they should do me no hurt, and it proved so. For the constable took Thomas Aldham, and carried him to York. I went with Thomas 20 miles towards York, and the constable had a warrant for me also, and said, "He saw me, but he was loath to trouble strangers." But Thomas Aldham was his neighbor. So the Lord's power restrained him so that he had not power to meddle with me. We went to Lieutenant Roper's, where we had a great meeting of many considerable men. The truth was powerfully declared among them, the scriptures wonderfully opened, the parables and sayings of Christ expounded, the state of the church in the apostles' days plainly set forth, and the apostasy since from that state discovered. The truth had great dominion that day, so that those great men present did generally confess to it, saying, they believed that this principle must go over the whole world. There were at this meeting James Naylor, Thomas Goodyear, and William Dewsbury, who had been convinced the year before, and Richard Farnsworth also. The constable stayed with Thomas Aldham until the meeting was over, and then went towards York Prison, but did not interfere with me. William Dewsbury had been long convinced and crucified before he ever met Fox. He is one of the few Quakers whom Christ developed independent of Fox's preaching. From here, I went to Wakefield, and the next first day I went to a steeple house, where James Naylor had been a member of an independent church. But upon his receiving truth, he was excommunicated. When I came in and the priest had finished, the people called me to come to the priest, which I did. But when I began to declare the word of life to them, and to lay open the deceit of the priest, they rushed upon me on a sudden, thrust me out at the other door, punching and beating me, and cried, "Let us have him to the stocks." But the Lord's power was over them, and so restrained them, that they were not able to put me in. So I passed away to the meeting, where a great many professors and friendly people were gathered, and there was a great convincement that day. For the people were mightily satisfied, that they were directed to the Lord's teaching in themselves. Here we got lodging, for 4 of us had laid outside under a hedge the night before, there being then few friends in that place. The same day Richard Farnsworth went to another great steeplehouse belonging to a great high priest, and declared the word of truth to the people, and he had a great service among them, for the Lord's dread and power was mightily over all. The priest of that church, which James Naylor had been a member of, whose name was Marshall, raised many wicked slanders upon me, as that I carried bottles about with me, and made people drink of my bottles, which made them follow me, and that I rode upon a great black horse, and was seen in one country upon my black horse in 1 hour, and in the same hour in another country 60 miles off, and that I should give a fellow money to follow me when I was on my black horse. With these hellish lies he fed his people, to make them think evil of the truth which I had declared among them. But by these lies that he preached, he drove many of his followers away from him, for I traveled on foot and had no horse at that time, and the people generally knew that. The Lord soon after met with this envious priest and cut him off in his wickedness. After this, I came to Hightown, where dwelt a woman who had been convinced a little before. We went to her house and had a meeting. The town's people gathered together. We declared the truth to them and had some service for the Lord among them, and they passed away again peaceably. But there was a widow woman in the town whose name was Green, who, being filled with envy, went to one called a gentleman in the town, who was reported to have killed 2 men and 1 woman, and informed him against us, though he was no officer. The next morning we drew up some questions, to be sent to the priest. When we had done and were just going away, some of the friendly people of the town came running and told us that this murdering man had sharpened a pike to stab us and was coming with his sword by his side. Since we were just going away, we missed him. But he came to the house where we had been, and the people generally concluded, if we had not been gone, he would have murdered some of us. That night we lay in a wood and were very wet, for it rained very hard. In the morning I was moved to return to that town, when we had a full report of this wicked man. From here we passed to a house at Bradford, where we met with Richard Farnsworth, from whom we had parted a little before. When we came in, they set food before us. But as I was going to eat, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Eat not the bread of such as have an evil eye." Immediately I arose from the table and ate nothing. The woman of the house was a Baptist. After I had exhorted the family to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and hearken to his teachings in their own hearts, we departed there. As we traveled through the country, preaching repentance to the people, we came into a market town where a lecture was held that day. I went into the steeplehouse, where many priests, professors, and people were. The priest that preached took for his text those words of Jer 5:31, "My people love to have it so." Leaving out the previous words, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means." I showed the people his deceit, and directed them to Christ, the true teacher within, declaring to them that God was come to teach his people himself, and to bring them off from all of the world's teachers and hirelings, that they might come to receive freely from him. Then warning them of the day of the Lord that was coming upon all flesh, I passed from there without much opposition. At night we came to a country place, where there was no public house near. The people desired us to stay all night, which we did, and had good service for the Lord, declaring his truth among them. The Lord had said to me, "If but one man or woman were raised by his power, to stand and live in the same spirit that the prophets and apostles were in, who gave forth the scriptures, that man or woman should shake all the country in their profession for 10 miles round." For people had the scriptures, but were not in the same light, power, and spirit, which those were in who gave forth the scriptures. So they neither knew God, Christ, nor the scriptures aright, nor had they unity one with another, being out of the power and spirit of God. Therefore, as we passed along, we warned all, wherever we met them, of the day of the Lord that was coming upon them. As we traveled, we came near a very great and high hill, called Pendle Hill, and I was moved of the Lord to go up to the top of it, which I did with much ado, it was so very steep and high. When I was come to the top, I saw the sea bordering upon Lancashire, and here I sounded the day of the Lord. From the top of this hill, the Lord let me see in what places he had a great people to be gathered. As I went down, I found a spring of water in the side of the hill, with which I refreshed myself, having had very little to eat or drink over the last several days. At night we came to an inn, and declared truth to the man of the house, and wrote a paper to the priests and professors, declaring the day of the Lord, and that Christ was come to teach people himself, by his power and spirit in their hearts, and to bring people off from all the world's ways and teachers, to his own free teaching who had bought them, and was the savior of all them that believed in him. The man of the house spread the paper abroad, and was himself mightily affected with the truth. Here the Lord opened unto me, and let me see a great people in white raiment by a river side, coming to the Lord. The place that I saw them in was about Wensardale and Sedberg. The next day we traveled on, and at night made a bed from some fern fronds, and we lay that night on a common ground. The next morning we reached a town where Richard Farnsworth departed, and then I traveled alone again. I came up Wensardale. In that valley at the market town there was a lecture on the market day. I went into the steeple house, and after the priest had finished preaching, I proclaimed the day of the Lord to the priest and people, warning them to turn from the darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they might come to know God and Christ correctly, and to receive his teaching, who teaches freely. Largely and freely did I declare the word of life to them, and I did not get much persecution there. Afterwards I passed up the valleys, warning people to fear God and preaching the everlasting gospel. On my way I came to a great house, where was a schoolmaster, and they invited me into the house. I asked them questions about their religion and worship, and afterwards declared the truth to them. They took me into a parlor and locked me in, pretending I was mad and had escaped from my relatives, and they intended to keep me until they could send for my relatives. But I soon convinced them of their mistake, and they let me out and would have had me to stay, but I was not to stay there. Having exhorted them to repentance and directed them to the light of Christ Jesus, that through it they might come unto him and be saved, I left them and arrived in the night at a little alehouse on a common, where a company of rude fellows were drinking. Because I would not drink with them, they struck at me with their clubs. But I reproved them and brought them to be somewhat cooler, and then walked out of the house upon the common in the night. After some time, one of these drunken fellows came out and would have come close up to me, pretending to whisper to me, but perceiving he had a knife, I kept off from him and bid him repent and fear God. So the Lord by his power preserved me from this wicked man, and he went into the house again. Next morning I went on through other valleys, warning and exhorting people everywhere as I passed to repent and turn to the Lord, and several were convinced. At one house, the man of the house, whom I afterwards found to be a kinsman of John Blakeland's, would have given me money, but I would not receive it. As I traveled through the valleys, I came to another man's house, whose name was Tennant. I was moved to speak to the family and declare God's everlasting truth to them, and as I was turning away from them, I was moved to turn again and speak to the man himself, who was convinced with his family and lived and died in the truth. Then I came to Major Bousfield's, who received me, as did several others. Some that were then convinced have stood faithful ever since. I went also through Gristdale and several other of those dales, in which some were convinced. In Dent, many were convinced also. From Major Bousfield's, I came to Richard Robinson's and declared the everlasting truth to him. The next day, I went to a meeting at Justice Benson's, where I met a people that were separated from the public worship. This was the place that I had seen in the vision, where a people came forth in white raiment. It was a large meeting. The people were generally convinced, and still continue a large meeting of friends near Sedberg, which was then first gathered through my ministry in the name of Jesus. The same week there was a great fair where servants were hired. I went and declared the day of the Lord through the fair. After I had done so, I went into the steeple house yard, and many of the people of the fair came to me, with abundance of priests and professors. There I declared the everlasting truth of the Lord and the word of life for several hours, showing that the Lord was come to teach his people himself, and to bring them off from the entire world's ways and teachers to Christ the true teacher and the true way to God. I laid open their teachers, showing that they were like those who were condemned by the prophets, by Christ, and by the apostles of old. I exhorted the people to come off from the temples made with hands and wait to receive the Spirit of the Lord, that they might know themselves to be the temples of God. Not one of the priests had power to open his mouth against what I declared. At last a captain said, "Why will you not go into the church? Is this not a fit place to preach in?" I told him that I denied their church. Then Francis Haugill, a preacher to a local congregation, stood up. He had not seen me before, yet he undertook to answer that captain and soon put him to silence. Then Francis Haugill said of me, "This man speaks with authority and not as the scribes." After this, I opened to the people that that ground and house was no holier than another place, and that the house is not the church, but the people, whom Christ is the head of. After a while, the priests came up to me, and I warned them to repent. One of them said that I was mad, so they turned away. But many were convinced there that day, and were glad to hear the truth declared, and received it with joy. Among these was one called Captain Ward, who received the truth and the love of it, and lived and died in it. The next first day I came to Furbank Chapel, in Westmoreland, where Francis Haugill and John Odland had been preaching in the morning. The chapel was full of people, so that many could not get in. Francis said he thought I looked into the chapel, and his spirit was ready to fail, the Lord's power did so surprise him, but I did not look in. They made haste and had quickly done, and they and some of the people went to dinner, but most stayed until they came again. John Blakelin and others came to me and desired me not to reprove them publicly, for they were not parish teachers, but pretty tender men. I could not tell them whether I would or not, though at that time I did not have any inclination to publicly declare against them. But I said that they must leave me to the Lord's movings. While others were gone to dinner, I went to a brook, got a little water, and then came and sat down on the top of a rock close by the chapel. In the afternoon, the people gathered around me, with several of their preachers. We estimated there was over 1,000 people there, to whom I declared God's everlasting truth and word of life freely and greatly for about 3 hours. I directed them all to the Spirit of God in themselves, that they might be turned from the darkness to the light. And believing in the light, they might become the children of the light and might be turned from the power of Satan to God, and be led into all truth by the Spirit of truth, and sensibly understand the words of the prophets, of Christ, and of the apostles, and might all come to know Christ to be their teacher to instruct them, their counselor to direct them, their shepherd to feed them, their bishop to oversee them, and their prophet to open divine mysteries to them, and might know their bodies to be prepared, sanctified, and made fit temples for God and Christ to dwell in. In the openings of the heavenly life, I opened to them the prophets and the figures and shadows, and directed them to Christ, the substance. Then I opened the parables and sayings of Christ, and things that had been long hidden, showing the intent and scope of the apostles' writings, and that their epistles were written to the elect. When I had opened the apostles' state, I also showed the state of the apostasy that has been since the apostles' days. That the priests have gotten the scriptures, but are not in the spirit which gave them forth, and have put them into chapter and verse to make a trade of the holy men's words. That the teachers and priests now are found in the steps of the false prophets, chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees of old, and are such as the true prophets, Christ and the apostles cried against, and so are judged and condemned by the spirit of the true prophets, of Christ, and of his apostles. And that none in that spirit, and guided by it, now could own them. Many old people went into the chapel, and looked out at the windows, thinking it a strange thing to see a man preach on a hill or mountain, and not in their church, as they called it. Whereupon I was moved to inform the people that the steeple house and the ground whereon it stood were no more holy than that mountain, and that those temples, which they called the dreadful houses of God, were not set up by the command of God and of Christ, nor their priests called, as Aaron's priesthood was, nor their tithes appointed by God, as those among the Jews were, but that Christ was come, who ended both the temple and its worship, and the priests and their tithes, and all now should hearken to him. For he said, "Learn of me." And God said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear you him." I declared that the Lord God had sent me to preach the everlasting gospel and word of life among them, and to bring them off from all these temples, tithes, priests, and rudiments of the world, which had got up since the apostles' days, and had been set up by such as had erred from the spirit and power that the apostles were in. Very largely was I opened at this meeting, and the Lord's convincing power accompanied my ministry and reached home to the hearts of the people, whereby many were convinced, and all the teachers of that congregation, who were many, were convinced of God's everlasting truth that day. After the meeting was over, I went to John Odland's, and there came John Story to me and lighted his pipe of tobacco, and said he, "Will you take a pipe of tobacco?" saying, "Come, all is ours." And I looked upon him to be a forward, bold lad, and tobacco I did not take, but it came into my mind that the lad might think I had not unity with the creation. For I saw he had a flashy, empty notion of religion. So I took his pipe and put it to my mouth, and gave it to him again to stop him, lest his rude tongue should say I had not unity with the creation. From there, I went to Preston Patrick Chapel, where a great meeting was appointed, to which I went and had a great opportunity to preach the everlasting gospel, showing the people that the end of my coming into that place was not to hold it up, no more than the apostles going into the Jewish synagogues and temple was to uphold those, but to bring them off from all such things, as the apostles brought the saints of old from off the Jewish temple and Aaron's priesthood, that they might come to witness their bodies to be the temples of God, and Christ in them to be their teacher. From this place I went to Kendal, where a meeting was appointed in the town hall, in which I declared the word of life among the people, showing them how they might come to the saving knowledge of Christ and to have a right understanding of the Holy Scriptures, opening to them what it was that would lead them into the way of reconciliation with God and what would be their condemnation. After the meeting, I stayed a while in the town. Several were convinced there, and many appeared loving. One whose name was Cock met me in the street and would have given me a roll of tobacco. I accepted his love, but did not receive the tobacco. From there, I went to Underbarrow, to Miles Bateman's, and I had great reasonings with the several traveling with me, especially with Edward Burruff. At night, the priest and many professors came to the house, and I had a great deal of disputing with them. Supper was provided for the priest and the rest of the company, but I did not have the freedom to eat with them. But I told them, if they would appoint a meeting for the next day at the Steeple House and acquaint the people with it, I might meet them. They had a great deal of reasoning about it, some being for the meeting and some against it. In the morning, after I had spoken to them again concerning the meeting, as I walked upon a bank by the house, there several poor travelers came by asking relief, and I saw they were in need of help. The priests and professors gave them nothing and said they were cheats. It grieved me to see such hard-heartedness among professors, at which point, when they were eating their breakfast, I ran after the poor people about a quarter of a mile and gave them some money. Meanwhile, some that were in the house, coming out from breakfast and seeing me a quarter of a mile off, said that unless I had wings, it was impossible for me to be a quarter of a mile distant from them in so short a time span. At which point the meeting was likely to have been canceled, for they were filled with such strange thoughts concerning me that many of them were against having a meeting with me. I told them I ran after those poor people to give them some money, being grieved at their hard-heartedness, who gave them nothing. Then Miles and Stephen Hubbersty arrived, who, being more simple-hearted men, would have the meeting held. So to the chapel I went, and the priest came. A great meeting there was, and the way of life and salvation was opened. And after a while, the priest fled away. Many of Crook and Underbarrow were convinced that day, received the word of life, and stood fast in it under the teaching of Christ Jesus. After I had declared the truth to them for some hours, and the meeting was ended, the chief constable and some other professors fell to reasoning with me in the chapel yard. Upon which I took a Bible and opened to them the scriptures, and dealt tenderly with them, as one would do with a child. They that were in the light of Christ and Spirit of God knew when I spoke scripture, though I did not mention chapter and verse after the priest's form to them. From here I went with an ancient man, whose heart the Lord had opened, and he invited me to his house. His name was James Dickinson. He was convinced that day, received the truth, and lived and died in it. 1, 2, 3, 4, back next.